But anyway, I always enjoy coming. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter number 5. And I want to tell you a little story before we get started. And I showed you my milk and muscle last night and kind of grew up around the farming, you know, stuff and all of that. Raised a lot of hay back in the day when we still had square bales, and we hauled a lot of square bales and sold hay to farmers and all that stuff, and a lot of hard work involved in all of that. But got a good work ethic on the farm. And but anyway, when I decided I was going to be a dairy farmer, I had about 7 or 8 Black Angus heifers, and that's a beef cow, and they were fat and sassy. I bought them from my wife's uncle, Uncle Jake, we called him. He was actually a great uncle, and he had a really good bull, and these were really just slick, fat, I mean, like really, really a beautiful set of heifers, okay? And so we were going to sell them and go totally with dairy farm Holsteins, the black and white cows, and so we're going from beef cows to dairy cows. And so my wife grew up in the country and riding horses and all that, so she wasn't afraid of cows. But the only problem was is that she was great with child, okay? Like she was like 8 months pregnant. That's a problem when you're trying to load cows and your wife's your helper, okay? We would say she was a springing heifer, okay? So she was really big, okay? And, we had our little plan, and we didn't have like a really good place to load them. We just had them kind of up in the lot. We put some feed out, and they came up in this lot. Well, we were going to kind of use the trailer. You know, the key is to get the first one to jump in the trailer, and then it's kind of like knocking dominoes over that. I mean, that was the plan. So my wife's kind of holding the gate, and I'm kind of easing this group of heifers around. And there's always one heifer, though. There's always one. She's like she's an independent Baptist or what she is. But anyway, she wants to make a break for it, okay? And so I'm watching. I've got my overalls on and my boots on. It's a cool, crisp fall morning. There's a little bit of dew on the ground. The ground's wet. I'm watching these heifers, and I see this one like she's wanting to mess my plan up. You don't want to get them stirred up, so I'm just kind of easing them around. And to get that first one jump in the trailer, my wife's holding the gate, you know, kind of helping me keep them in our little, you know, corner there, and then jump them up. Well, anyway, this one kind of makes a break for it. Well, I start trotting to kind of keep her with the group so she doesn't mess my plan up. Are y'all with me? And so I start trotting. Well, I'm watching her, but I'm not watching where I'm going, and I'm trotting. I'm kind of like to keep her in the group, so I'm going this way, and she's, you know, to keep her in this way, kind of heading her off, so to speak. Well, I wasn't watching where I was going, and my boot hit a Texas-size cow patty. Now, when my boot hit that cow patty, my feet kind of went up in the air, and my bottom landed slap dab in the middle of a Texas-size cow patty. It was fresh. I mean, like, very fresh. You say, how do you know it was fresh? Because it was smoking. When a cow patty is smoking, that means it's hot off the press. Okay? However you want to say it, fresh out of the oven. I mean, whatever, it was there. And I landed right in the middle of it. Now, listen to me. It was oozing. Like, it was coming between my legs and my rear end. I mean, it was brutal. Okay, my wife is 8 months with child, and she's, like, bent over double laughing at me. And, you know, it's kind of one of those guys, you know how humiliating that would be anyway. Well, it was kind of, from where I was sitting, it wasn't funny. And from where she was standing, it was hilarious, okay? Well, it was bad, y'all. It was brutal. I mean, that it was so fresh that it was leaking through my undergarments. And my rear end was burning because it's ammonia nitrate. I mean, it's got, like, you know, it's fertilizer. And it's wet. And so anyway, I feel like my rear end's getting sunburned in a hurry, you know. And so the next scene was, we weren't going to the cow sale that day. I'm riding in the back of the truck. And she's driving the truck. My wife's driving the truck. And she's like laughing, you know. And I'm back there and I'm stewing. I'm mad, you know. I mean, and again, I wasn't. Now, please listen to me. I wasn't going to be a happy camper until I got the stink washed off of me. The poo-poo washed off of me. Are y'all with me? Is that pretty clear? Now listen to me. That's what revival time is about. Okay? You say, well, how does that have to do with revival? Well, we don't mean it, but by... we're in the world, but we're not of the world. But by being in the world, we get the world on us. Oh, yeah. And God, He's got a good sniffer. The Lord's got a good sniffer. Some of you daddies know what I'm talking about. Got a good sniffer. Most daddies are pretty good until there's a problem. And that's what God made grannies and mamas for. Shoo-wee. You know, and then we hand them off and you change them. Why? They got issues. Hey, we've all got issues. And God's here and He's smelling Liberty Baptist Church. He said, what am I smelling down there? Really? Yeah. I want my life to be a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. I want to be clean. I want to be right. I want to be renewed. And God says, wow, this is just, He's loving me like He did when He first got saved. He hasn't lost His first love. He loves me just as much or more than He ever has. And boy, God smells that, and it's a sweet-smelling savor when we're right with Him. Are y'all listening to me? That's why we need these renews meetings, these renews conferences, so we can get on our knees and we can say, you know, Lord, I've been a stinker. Lord, I didn't mean for it to happen, but Lord, I've been stepping in it big time and I know I stink. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we all do, don't we? Yeah, I just want to be clean, man. I want to be clean. I was thinking about that other little story about that. People had this little boy, he's about 10 years old, and they were going to have their septic tank, all the thick stuff, get that, have it drained or however they do that, you know. And so they were going to have the lid off. So they were very careful to tell their 10-year-old boy, stay away from the septic tank. I don't want you to fall in there. The lid's going to be off while they're cleaning it out. But they forgot to tell their little dog, and guess who fell in the septic tank? Their little puppy, their little dog fell in the septic tank. And they realized it. When it happened, they realized he'd fallen in there. And story says that they ran real fast, and the father told the son, he said, son, go get the ladder. And the father kind of held the ladder, and that little boy went down there and grabbed his puppy. And the little puppy didn't understand. He was covered. He was covered in manure and everything that's in a septic tank. And the little dog didn't understand. He was trying to bite the little boy. The little boy wasn't trying to hurt him. He was trying to help him. The little boy grabbed him and pulled him up to safety. And they turned the water hose on that little dog. And they said from that day forward, that little dog loved to play in the water. Yeah, I guess so. He loved to play in the water. And that reminds us of what Jesus did for us. And in that illustration, we're that little dog. And the Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And Jesus, though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. And He condescended. He come down from heaven. And He rescued me. And I was covered in sin. And He saved me. Amen. And a meeting like this, a renewed meeting, is where we take the washing of the water of the Word of God. It's like a giant fire hose, man, and we're just spraying y'all down. We're at the car wash, and man, we're blowing everything off of you that doesn't look like Jesus. Yes. Amen. I like it. I like it. It's a poopy sermon, isn't it? Yeah. Now let's look in Isaiah chapter number 5, if you have your Bible there. Isaiah chapter number 5. Thank y'all for letting me come. It's been a blessing, and I know we got tomorrow night. Don't miss tomorrow night now. Tomorrow night we're going to kind of, you know, last night we're talking about, you know, tearing up our script and kind of dealing with things on the inside, bitterness and things like that. Tonight we're going to kind of deal with things on the outside, things that maybe, you know, sometimes we can just, I'm tired. Sometimes I get a bad attitude. Sometimes I get angry. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. Sometimes you get an attitude. Sometimes you get angry. Sometimes you say things you shouldn't say. Are y'all with me? I mean, we're just sinners, amen, by nature. And sinners by, I'm glad we're saved sinners, but we still didn't get rid of that old nature, did we? No, we got to crucify the flesh and all that every day. But I want to try to help you tonight in the next few moments. Look in Isaiah chapter number 5. Don't miss tomorrow night. Bring somebody with you tomorrow night. It's going to be really good. I'm going to share some blessings with you tomorrow night. Isaiah chapter 5. We have the parable here of Jehovah's vineyard. Now, a parable is an earthly story that conveys a heavenly meaning. Jehovah's vineyard, God's vineyard. And we're going to let the walls of the church house tonight be the vineyard here at Liberty Baptist Church, okay? The walls, we're inside the vineyard tonight. We are the vineyard, okay, here at Liberty Baptist Church. Now, I'm going to give you some thoughts tonight. And verse number 1, it says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard." And notice this next little statement here, "in a very fruitful hill." Not just a fruitful hill, but the Bible says a very fruitful hill. So in the context of the scripture tonight, this parable of Jehovah's vineyard, it symbolizes the nation of Israel, okay? And they were called the song of my beloved, my favored one, my loved one. I mean, God has a special place in his heart for the Jews. And the beloved one here in the story is the Lord himself. And Israel is the vineyard, okay, which has been properly cared for and yet has brought forth wild grapes. So I want to preach to you on this subject for a few moments tonight. Wild grapes in the Lord's vineyard. Wild grapes in the Lord's vineyard. So the setting is a fertile hill on a sunny slope of a rocky hill maybe, and it's got a wine press kind of hollowed out of the rock, and the walls and the towers of the defense are built around the vineyard, okay? Yet in spite of all that God had done to me, now please listen to me, don't miss this, in spite of all that God had done, okay, all this preparation that God had done for his vineyard, it still was unproductive. Can I tell you this tonight, that God wants Liberty Baptist Church to be a very fruitful hill. And so when Liberty Baptist Church is unproductive and we're not hitting on all cylinders, so to speak, we're sputtering and we're just not, you know, we're not reaching people, you know, like we could and like we should, that's a problem with the Lord. Does that make sense? That's why we need revival. That's why we need revival, okay? And again, Israel, God wanted Israel to bring forth fruit unto himself, and all she was bringing forth was the wild grapes of sin. And so God denounces it with judgment. Now listen to me, if I have the blessing of God on my life, I have everything. But if God lifts his hand of blessing off of my life and off of my family and curses me, I'm up a creek without a paddle. I mean, I'm in trouble. I need God. Y'all realize that? We need God. I need God. You need God, okay? So let me give you this little outline here tonight. So number one, it says here, my well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And God's care for his vineyard, okay? His care, number one, God's care for his vineyard. So God would do things to his vineyard. You know, he would prune his vineyard. He would cut away the dead limbs. And he took very good care of his vineyard. Okay, why? Because he wanted it to be very fruitful. We have crepe myrtles in our yard. Bushes, you know, crepe myrtles. And my wife loves crepe myrtles. But every year, I think it's in February, man, we cut them back. And it's unbelievable how much a crepe myrtle grows in 1 year. How many of y'all know I'm talking about, those crepe myrtles? Well, anyway, I mean, I'm just telling you, we prune them not because we're mad at them. We prune them so that they'll put back out the next year, okay? And that's the way God is. He's not mad at us, but, you know, it hurts sometimes when he cuts those dead limbs off. Are y'all with me? It hurts, but he's not doing it because he doesn't love us. He's doing it because he wants us to be very fruitful. Are y'all listening to me? And so his care, he prunes it, he protects it. God provides for his vineyard. Isn't God a good provider? I like the old song, says, "Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you." And he's taking good care of me, amen? And he's given us so many blessings. And he's the best thing. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. And the best thing that ever happened to you if you're saved tonight is the Lord. Number two, number one, God's care for his vineyard. Number two, God's concern for his vineyard. Now, I know care and concern go together, but look at verse number two. Verse number two says, "And he fenced it." Now, why would we put a fence around the vineyard, okay? The reason why we put a fence around the vineyard in Arkansas would be to keep the deer out. Pastor's got pear trees in his yard. Guess who's, is it pear trees? Yeah, and guess who's sneaking in and eating the pears? Bambi. Oh yeah, the deer coming up in his yard at nighttime and stuff, and they're eating those pears, okay? So we would put a fence around our vineyard to keep things out of the vineyard that we don't want in the vineyard. We would put a fence around our yard to keep our children in. Somebody say amen right there. And to keep a bad dog out, things that we wouldn't want to bother our children, okay? So we have perimeters, not because we don't love them, but because we do love them, okay? Why do we have rules? Thank God. Hey, I'm glad tonight that God loves me. It's not the 10 suggestions, it's 10 commandments. Man, God does, he's got perimeters and boundaries, and thou shalt not, and I want you to do this. And, you know, wow, I mean, those things are there because he cares about us. And I'm glad God cares, amen? And that is a blessing. So he puts this fence around his vineyard. Can you kind of vision that in your mind, the fence around the vineyard? And he fenced it. Now look at the next little statement here, verse number two, "and gathered out the stones thereof." The stones thereof. Well, if we're going to have the vineyard, it's going to be very fruitful in a very fruitful hill. We're going to have to remove the things out of the vineyard, the stones that are causing the vineyard not to be very fruitful. Are y'all with me? So if you and I, the analogy is, if you and I are going to be very fruitful Christians, we've got to remove the things out of our lives, the stumps and the stones and anything that's hindering us from being what we ought to be for God. We've got to get that out of our life. Why? So we can be very fruitful. Does that make sense? The old song says, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior." I mean, man, sometimes some little something just keeping, you know, that this one thing just keeping somebody from being all that they could be for God. I want to, whatever it is, I want to get that out of my life because I want to be all he wants me to be. Okay? And if I'm covered in manure, I want the Word of God to wash me off so I can be clean. Are y'all with me on that? I don't want to live the rest of my life just stinking it up, if you know what I'm talking about. I want to be clean, and I want to have clean hands and a clean heart, and I just want to do God's will for my life, amen, and be a sweet smelling savor and a blessing to the Lord. Man, just look here what all he's done for us. It says, "and planted it with the choicest vine." How many of y'all been saved tonight? You've been saved by the grace of God? You're a Christian? You're not ashamed of it? Hey, isn't that a blessing? You've been planted with the choicest vine. When you got saved, you took upon that name that's above every name. I love those songs. And what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. I like the song that says, "Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know." Well, when you got saved by the grace of God, guess whose name you took on? Yeah, you're a child of God. You're a Christian. Why did they call them Christians? They called them Christians because they were little Christ. They were little Jesuses. They were, you know, they were his followers, his disciples. Man, I hope there's enough evidence in my life that I would be convicted of being a Christian. That people could see Jesus in my life. Amen. My children, my grandchildren could say, "My papa loves Jesus. My papa loves Jesus. He loves me, but my papa loves Jesus." Man, that's a blessing. Hey, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength that thou mightest steal the enemy and the vengeance. Hey, listen, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name. All the earth. When you got saved, you took upon his name. You've been planted tonight. You're in the Lord's vineyard. He's put the fence around us. We're removing the stones out of our lives. He's renewing us tonight in this conference. Why? We've been planted with the choicest vine. Man, I'm glad I'm not going to hell no more. I'm glad you're not going to hell no more. I love it. Look at the next one here. It's good, isn't it? It says, "and built a tower in the midst of it." Now, when I think about the tower in the midst of the vineyard, You know, I think about your pastor. You know, Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, but your pastor is the under shepherd. And I just kind of see the pastor, you know, in the vineyard, kind of being in the tower, and he's up above and he's watching. He's watching over the vineyard, you know, and he's protecting. He's there to and God gives the pastor discernment. You know, say, well, I wonder why a preacher did that. Well, if you knew everything pastor knew about that situation, you'd probably do the same thing he did. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you just got to trust the man of God that he's just following the Lord. Amen? As long as he doesn't violate scriptures. No, hey, we follow the man of God as he follows Jesus. If he ever stops following the word of God, then you follow the word of God. Word of God trumps everything. Somebody said, well, preacher didn't do too good Sunday. Oh, really? How'd you do? Hey, listen, if you spend time praying for your pastor that God would give him power, and that God would give him love, and that God would give him wisdom. If you pray for your preacher all week long, you won't have barbecue preacher on the way home from church on Sunday. And by the way, you better be careful about tearing down the man of God in front of your children and your grandchildren, because one day you're going to need the preacher. And if you've destroyed his credibility by saying bad things about him, it's not good, y'all. It's not good. Hey, a man of God's worthy of double honor. Oh, yeah. He's worthy of double honor. And I appreciate y'all taking care of your preacher and his wife, the church here over all these years. It's a testimony. Amen. Appreciate those little things that people do behind the scenes for the preacher. I got a couple in my church that bought me the shoes that I'm wearing tonight. Last year for Christmas, they bought me their Johnston and Murphy shoes. Those are expensive shoes. And I'm just now getting them broke in. I've been wearing them, but you know how many, have you ever had a tight pair of shoes and they fit you, but once you get them on, but they're just still, well, now these are just starting like, you know, but when you take them off, it's like, oh, it feels good to take them off. How many of y'all know you had one little snug and you're trying to break them in? Yeah. Now, what is the next one, okay? You got the tower in the midst, and then it says built the wine press therein. Y'all see that there in Isaiah 5? Is that the next one, built the wine press therein? Okay, now listen, if we're talking about a vineyard, we're talking about grapes. Well, if I'm going to be a grape, I want God to squeeze me. I want him to get everything out of me that he wants to get out of me. Does that make sense? I mean, I want him to just squeeze me and you know, use me to be a blessing to somebody else. Just squeeze all the juice out of me and then I'll go be with Jesus. Does that make sense? Now watch what happens here, and this is really, really sad. I mean, this might be one of the saddest illustrations, parables in the Bible. I mean, when you look at it, at what happens in light of all that God's done for his vineyard, okay? He's fenced it and gathered out the stones and planted it with the choicest vine and built the tower in the midst of it and made the winepress therein. Now look what happens. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Wow. I knew y'all didn't really know that I would have some grapes here tonight, but I just happened to have some under the pulpit. Can you imagine that? Wow. I should probably pick up one of those grapes, but it should have been that God could pick. We may have grapes going everywhere here. Y'all pray. Oh, there it is. Okay, it should have been that God could pick any grape in light of all that he'd done for his vineyard. Who likes grapes? Okay, good. Would you help me? Would you eat that grape? Okay, thank you for taking one for the team. All right, is it good? Is it sweet? Oh, yeah. She's like, yeah. And several others are like, I'd like one of those. And my mouth's watering, my saliva glands. Hey, listen, it should have been that God could have picked any grape at random in light of all he'd done for his vineyard, and it would have been a sweet grape. But he went to his vineyard to get a grape. He didn't get a sweet grape. He got a wild grape. He got a wild grape in light of all that God had done for his vineyard. He went to his vineyard to get a good grape, a sweet grape. You know, the wild grapes, they grow down by the river, and I don't know if you've ever ate, they call them Mustang grapes. And how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? They got a bite to them. A wild grape does not taste like a tame grape. Are y'all listening to me? I mean, there's a difference. And so, I'll pass some grapes out after the service, amen. Wow. Now look at your Bible now. Number one, God's care for his vineyard. Number two, God's concern for his vineyard. Number three, God's complaint for his vineyard. Now look at verses 3 and 4. It says at the last part of verse 2, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. Now look at verse number 4. And God asks a question here, and he says, what could have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Hey, everybody, look at me. The problem wasn't on God's end. He's a good God. He's a wonderful caregiver and caretaker of his vineyard. Are y'all listening to me? The problem wasn't on his end. The problem was on this end. Now, I want to tell you a story. I'm not proud of this story. I'm ashamed of this story. But it's a good illustration. It's a good illustration. When I was 11 years of age, my mom and dad were in Bible college. My dad surrendered to preach when I was about 9 years old. So I'm 11 years old. My dad's in the old Bible Baptist Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. And Dr. J. Frank Norris started that school way back. And anyway, Dr. Raymond Barber and a bunch of guys there, old preachers. And so my dad was there in like 69, 70, 71 in Bible college. I was born in 1960, so I would have been like 9, 10, 11 years old, okay? And my mom and dad are older. And when they went to Bible college, my dad didn't get saved until he was like 32. So, I mean, they were like Moses and Sarah going to Bible college, you know, in their middle 30s and all of that. And everybody else was 18, 19, 20, you know. And so, anyway, my dad, it was a really busy time in my dad's life, okay? He loves Jesus. My mom loves Jesus. My dad, well, they had to be in class at 7 o'clock in the morning for Bible college. They go from 7 to 12, 5 days a week, 7 o'clock in the morning. Well, we were still sleeping. I mean, I went to an elementary school. It was about 5 blocks down the street. I walked my little sister Debbie down to school, and I was in like the 5th grade, and you know, she was 3 years younger than me, and so I'm walking my little sister to school. We went to the same elementary school. My brother went to a junior high school there in Arlington, Texas. And anyway, my dad would go to work after he got out of Bible college, and he would work till 3 to 11 at night, and you know, us kids were already in bed when he came home, so I never saw my dad during the week. He was just busy. I'd see him on the weekend, just a busy time during his life. Are y'all listening to me? And my dad was old school, grew up on the farm, state trooper, served in Korea in the Army, and he was a strong disciplinarian. He whipped us with the belt. He had a razor strap he whipped us with that the barbers used to use, and about 3 or 4 inch piece of leather, and man, it hurt. There wasn't any hotline numbers to call back in those days. The only thing that was hot was the seat of my britches, amen. Yeah, it was back in the day. Well, anyway, now Brother Bob and I, we got a paper route, and there was three big papers. You had the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, you had the Dallas Morning News, and you had the Dallas Times-Herald. And so we flew through the Dallas Times-Herald. Well, the Sunday papers were like giant Dallas papers, you know, they were big papers. And so I'm 11 years old, I've got my own route, you know, so I'm pretty cool and thinking, you know, this is awesome, and I'd collect the money and all that stuff, you know. So I mean, I'm earning money at 11 years of age, and my brother's 5 years older than me, and so he's 16. Well, my brother had a car, he got a 57 Chevrolet. And so we're driving around, and we're doing all these papers and apartment complexes and different places and residential houses. And so we both have pretty good size routes, okay? Well, you know, again, neither one of us was saved at that time, but we started stealing things. It was bad, y'all. We started stealing things. And back in those days, they had Coke bottles that you could return for a deposit. For a nickel. How many of y'all remember that? Those glass Coke bottles, and people would set them out on their carports or their garages or, you know, whatever, and to take them back to the store to get their, you know, get some more Cokes and all that, or cash the money in. Well, we were stealing them, and he was driving the getaway cars like Bonnie and Clyde. You know, I was Clyde, and he was Bonnie, of course. And so anyway, you know, it's a wonder I didn't get shot. You know, I'm a little redheaded juvenile delinquent, you know, and I'm running up and grabbing stuff, and, you know, dogs are barking and all this stuff. Me and I'm running and jumping in the car, and we're, driving away. And so anyway, we did a lot of different things like that. We stole a fire extinguisher one night. We drove around, squirted cars, and we were just being stupid. Okay? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We were just being idiots. My mom and dad didn't have a clue. They thought we was good little boys. Nope. So anyway, we started stealing these Oasis water jugs, and at that time you get $2.50 for an empty water jug and a deposit. Well, anyway, one night we looked at this street, and man, there wasn't a light on. No, all these houses were dark. But on the side that we were on, we didn't really look at that side. And I don't know what, but the little elderly lady was up in the wee hours on a Saturday night. We were throwing them big Sunday papers. And I ran up and grabbed this Oasis water jug, and I'm running back to the car. Well, she wrote down the license plate number on the 57 Chevrolet. Well, the way it would go down, preacher, we were coming in later than we were supposed to. My dad, we had started a church in our home. Our bedrooms were Sunday school classes. We would come in late, and my brother would kill that 57 Chevrolet, and we'd come down the hill and park right in front of the house, and we'd kind of ease the doors too. We'd go around and come in the back door, the sliding door. We'd slide up real easy, and we'd go and get in bed because we were coming in later than we were supposed to. Well, this Sunday morning, we did all that and walked in the back door. Guess who was waiting on us? My dad. He was not a happy camper. My dad said, "Come on, boys, we're going to the police station." I'm 11 years old. And I'm like, oh, no, this is not going to be good. I mean, I honestly, I thought I was going to go be with Jesus. I did. Elizabeth, this is the big one. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Amen. Hey, well, we went down to the police station. We got down to the police station, and I used to go to the Boys and Girls Club and play basketball when I was little, hang out down there a lot. And I'd seen this guy down there jumping rope. You know, he's probably about 5'10". But he probably weighed about 210, maybe 220. This guy he looked like the Incredible Hulk. I mean, he had some guns on. He was like muscled. He had muscles on top of his muscles. His name was Detective Race. He had a flat top haircut, and he started interrogating me, asking me all these questions, and the veins on his neck was popping out. I mean, this guy was mad at me. And man, I got scared, and he wanted to know everything I'd ever stolen. I think I stole some bubble gum when I was in my baby bed. You know, when you get scared, I mean, man, I was like, my mind was going everywhere. And, I mean, I was like dreaming up stuff that I had thought I stole. I was confessing my sins and everybody else's. I was scared to death. Well, we were first-time offenders, juveniles. And I told him everything I'd ever stolen. And I thought, my brother, he's on his own because he wasn't with me. I rolled on him in a heartbeat. Amen. Every man for himself. And so, man, I'm crying. Well, then, because we were first-time offenders and they scared us half to death, then they turned us back over to my dad. And then I was wishing they would have kept us at the jail. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I wish they'd have done locked me up and threw the key away. Amen. So we get back home, and I knew it was going to be bad. I knew we were going to get a real bad whooping and all that. And so we walk into the house. 2405 West Stonegate, Arlington, Texas. We walk in, and my mama's there. And I'd seen my mom cry at funerals. I mean, I'd seen her cry, but this was like, she was sobbing. I mean, y'all, it was really bad. I mean, I'm 11 years old, and I'm seeing my mom cry like I've never seen her cry like this in all my life, and it's because of me. It's because of me and what I've done, and my dad, she's sobbing and crying, and my dad's talking to us boys. It's a teaching moment, and my dad says, "Boys, you've broken your mother's heart." And he said, "Boys, the Bible says if a man can't rule his own house well, then he can't be a preacher." He said, "Boys, if you don't get your act together, I'm not going to be able to do what God's called me to do." And my dad was a real deal preacher man. I mean, my dad loved Jesus, and my mom did too. And my mom was just overwhelmed because she thought we were good boys. And we weren't. And my mama was sitting there, preacher, and she kept saying, it was like she was saying what the Lord said. She was saying, "Where did we go wrong? What could we have done more?" We're having family devotions. We're doing all the things that you're supposed to do. And I'm thinking, it's not your fault, Mama. It's not your fault, Mama. You're a good mama. Mama, this is our fault. We're the ones that did all, we're the ones that stole all the stuff. We're the ones that did wrong. I'm very thankful. I knelt down by my mama. I knelt down there by her and I said, Mama, I'm sorry. And I was crying. And you know, my mama didn't say, get out of here. You're not my little boy no more. She didn't do that. You know what she did? When she saw that I was really sorry, not sorry that I got caught. I was sorry that I hurt her and I didn't want to hurt her no more like that. Because she was a good mama. It's a good mama. I built the fence around the vineyard and removed the stones and planted it with the choicest vine and built the tower and the wine press and went to get a grape. And I got a wild grape. What could have been done more in my vineyard than I have not done in my vineyard? It's not your fault, God. You're a good God. You're a good God. But God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry I've allowed the stink of the world to get on me. I'm sorry I've listened to the wrong music. I'm sorry I've said things I shouldn't have said. I've cussed. I've done this and that. And Lord, there's all kinds of things I've done and said I shouldn't do. And Lord, I just want to be clean. I want to be a good grape. Lord, I want to be a good grape. Pick me, Lord. I'll be a good grape. Pick me. Now here's the danger and why we have to have these renew meetings, renew conferences. Preacher, I don't know how many wild grapes it would take. I don't know how many wild grapes it would take in Liberty Baptist Church for God to say, you know, enough is enough. I've been really good to Liberty. I've been really good to her people. There's too many wild grapes down there. You know, there's a lot of churches that, no, they're having services, but the Lord has written Ichabod on the back door of the church house. And they're just going through the motions. You know why? Because the glory of God has departed. And nobody's getting saved no more. And nothing's really happening in those churches. Social churches. Social gospel. No, give me that old-time religion. Yeah, amen. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Just thinking tonight, God, I just want to be a good grape. I just want to be a good grape. Lord, I want to be a sweet-smelling savor in your nostrils. Let's bow our heads tonight. Thank y'all for listening. I think it'd be a good time, Liberty, just to come down. I think it'd be a good time to get down to the altar and say, you know, Lord, wow. I'm in on this good grape stuff. Piano player's coming. Let's come on down to the altar tonight. Could we do that, church? We'll just spend a little time with the Lord. Let's stand together. We'll let her, play something softly. Well, don't wait on anybody else. Let's just come down and find a place and say, Lord, I'll be a good grape, Lord. Pick me. I'll be a good grape. I'll be a good grape. Piano's playing softly. God bless you. Don't wait on anybody else. Just step out and come. Something on the inside of you saying, boy, you need to get down there. You can pray in your seat, by the way. You can pray in your seat. It's just good to bow your knee and your heart before the Lord. You can do that in your seat. Those of you that are listening on live stream, you can do that in your house. Just make an altar wherever you're at. Make an altar where you're at. Piano's playing softly. God cautions his vineyard in verses 5 and 6. And he says, and now go to, I will tell you what I shall do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. Break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. And it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. And I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. I'm telling y'all, God's blessing us. We got to thank Him for His blessings and His goodness to us. Wow. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah, His pleasant planting. Look for judgment, but behold oppression for righteousness. But behold a cry. Man, I'd rather judge myself at an old-fashioned altar. I'd rather judge myself than to have the Lord have to chasten me. The Bible says He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. But man, I'd rather let judgment begin at the house of God. I'd rather get on my knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'd rather repent. The Bible says that a broken and a contrite heart that God will not despise. Man, we get so full of pride and so hard-hearted and so full of other things. No, listen, we need to come to the house of God and empty ourselves of self and let God fill us. The songwriter said, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Yeah. Wow. If it'd be all right, I want to get that group to come back and let's sing that, Lord, You're the best thing. Can we do that again? Can we sing that song, Lord, You're the best thing? Yeah, come on back up here. Let's do that. Lord, You're the best thing. Lord, You're the best thing that's ever happened to me.